Good morning, everybody. Welcome from me. It's lovely to see you. Now, there's a picture that's going to come up on the screen in a moment. In fact, now, actually. And it's a field that I've been walking around for all of my life. All of my life I've walked around this field. In fact, when I was at primary school, I used to run around it. Actually, for all honesty, I ran a bit around it, and I walked with my friends at the back, mostly chit-chatting, because I'm a bit of a talker, and I've always been a bit of a talker. But it's a field that I have walked around, literally, when I was growing up there. My school is the buildings in the background, my primary school. And these pictures were taken 2 years apart. One was taken, I forget which now, one was taken this July, and one was taken the July 2023. And it's it's a field that has been producing food, corn and straw for animals all of my life. And year after year after year, no matter if it's the seasons are bad or the rain comes, there's drought, there's a water shortage, the winter's bad, the winter's wet, it produces a crop every single year. I mean, there might have been years when it hasn't and I haven't noticed, but you get my gist. It's been a really fruitful field. It's a field that's produced a harvest. And if you could compare yourself from now to a year ago, like my field, would you say that you have been fruitful? Would you say that your life has been producing a harvest? Would you say that God is doing good things in you and through you? Would you say that your life has been a place where the kingdom of God has come and settled and produced a harvest in you or through you? And it might have been very small. That's okay, because the seasons come and go. But would you say that's something that God has been doing? And I'm asking that question because I want us to kind of hold it as I speak this morning, because we are in a series where we're looking at the parables that Jesus told. And we're focusing in over the next 5 weeks in September at five key parables that Jesus told. And it's amazing that we are still trying to get to grips with Jesus' teaching. 2,000 years ago, he said these words to the crowds and to his disciples, and we are still grappling with it. We're still trying to make it work in our lives. We're still trying to understand it. And that's really the beauty of a parable. It's a story that draws us in, but is also, it reveals truth, but it also hides truth. It brings challenge and encouragement, but it also sometimes has a bit of a sting in the tail, a warning, an angle that makes us think about our lives and makes us think, where am I in the parable? Which character am I? Where do I find my place? What is Jesus saying to me? And that is the reason Jesus tells parables, because it draws us in, and sometimes there's a little kind of kick at the back which says, come on then, what are you going to do about it? And we're looking at parables because of all those things, but also because we want to get to grips in this church, this term, this month, with what does the kingdom of God look like in us? What does the kingdom of God look like when it comes and settles in our lives and produces something? How do we do that? What does that look like? How can we wrestle with it? How can we look at it from different angles? And that's what a parable does. In fact, the parable we're going to look at in a minute, the parable of the sower, is actually an illustration of what all parables do that Jesus told. They're parables. A parable is like revealing what happens when the kingdom of God comes. And often there are differing reactions to when people hear it as to how they respond. So the parable is working on like the big level, saying this is a parable about parables, but also it's a parable that says, what is your life like? What is the condition of your soil in your life like? Is the word of God, is the kingdom of God going to settle and put really deep roots down? Or is it going to be snatched away? Is it going to be choked? Is it going to struggle? Is it going to grow up with other things that have actually become more powerful than the kingdom of God? So that is where we're going this morning. And I haven't got long, so I'm going to speak fast. So buckle up, guys. I'm going to read Matthew 13. I'm going to come up on the screen and I'm going to read it in my best dramatic voice. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. This is where I speak in parables. So Jesus is saying, some of it is revealed, but there's also some that is hidden. Some will get it, some won't. Some will kind of have the inner workings of what the parable means, and some just won't. And that's kind of what he's doing. He's doing it deliberately. Verse 14, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are you, whose eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but didn't see it. Longed to hear what you hear, but didn't hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to somebody who hears the word, but the worries of this life, let's face it, there's a lot of worries in this life, and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. So this parable may be so familiar to some of you. If you've been around church a lot of your life, you'll be like, yeah, I get it. I've heard it so many times. It's super familiar. But don't switch off. Don't switch off, because the beauty of a parable is it's trying to stoke and provoke your curiosity. It's trying to make you think about what Jesus is saying and how it applies to you, and how the kingdom of God can root down into our lives and be fruitful. A little bit of context about Matthew in 2 minutes. Matthew is the first gospel in the New Testament. It is historic. We think it's written by the disciple called Matthew, who is the tax collector, who was one of the 12 who traveled around with Jesus, watched what he did, heard the parables, and then he curated what he had heard into this book, which is the gospel that we still have now in our Bibles. And he loved writing to a Jewish audience. So all the way through the gospel, there is loads and loads of references to the Old Testament. And if you read Matthew's gospel, you cannot help notice this. All the time he's quoting the Old Testament. He's doing that deliberately because he's trying to make the link between the person, the Messiah, the Savior, who the Jews were longing for and looking for to come, is Jesus. He has arrived. He is the one carrying the kingdom of God. He is the one that is coming, that has come, and is going to die, but he's going to be raised again. And so he's making this link deliberately to illustrate that Jesus is the Messiah. And when he speaks, we need to take note. And when he teaches, it is the word of God. And when he says something, it is true. And if we can't understand it, that's kind of part of it. We have to wrestle it to the ground to figure it out. So we're going to look at these four parables super quickly. And while I'm whizzing through these, I want you to think about that question I asked at the beginning of this sermon. In the past year, how fruitful do you think you've been? And like Kate's brilliant little illustration about a potato, sometimes it's really hard to tell. Let's be honest, it's hard to tell how we've been fruitful. It's hard to tell if we've been producing a harvest. And we have to kind of trust it to God. But what we can do, if we can't tell, is we can be aware of the condition of the soil in our lives, the condition of our heart. So, first one, little picture might illustrate this. Jesus says, some seed fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. This means, verse 18, this is about when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This looks like a heart, a life, soil that is hard ground. Hard ground, the seed stays on the top, the birds come and snatch it away. If you've ever sown some seed in your garden, trying to patch it where the earth has got a bit scorched or not working, you know if you don't sort the seed out and cover it up, the birds are going to eat it. They love their stuff. And I think in terms of people, this is sometimes like people who just cannot hear who Jesus is. You cannot understand who Jesus is. You might have people in your lives where you have talked about Jesus, you have shared your story, you have asked them to read the Bible with you, or you have said, you know, come along to Alpha, or come along to church, and it's literally like it bounces off them and bounces off. Maybe you are like that person. Maybe you're here this morning or you're watching online and you just feel like this is just, I just don't get it at all. If that is you, well done for being here and persevering and thinking, I'm just going to keep trying. My top tip for you is throw out a prayer. Throw out a prayer to the God who you might not even believe in and say, if you're real, if you love me, if this is not just made up and it's some sort of like weird thing, make yourself known. Make yourself known. You've got nothing to lose by doing that. Nothing to lose by opening up your heart, by just seeing if you can make that ground a little bit softer in your heart. And if you're the person that is struggling with someone who cannot hear the word of God, who you think the seed's bouncing off, pray for them. Pray for them, love them, care for them. Help Jesus to help you to see them as he does. Secondly, verse 5, some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Jesus explains this to disciples in verse 20. This refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but they have no root. And it only lasts a short time because trouble comes, persecution comes. If you're not rooted, it's really hard to withstand the season of trouble and persecution and pain and suffering and difficulty. This is about roots going down deep. This looks like shallow ground. You know, walking back around my field, you can see where the seed sometimes falls outside of where the land has been prepared and ploughed and has nutrients in it. And the seed grows kind of like the other seed, but it's spindly and weedy. And if you walk on it, it just kind of like bends over and doesn't pop back up again like the seed that is healthy and has grown. Because it hasn't got any roots to withstand it. It takes more than enthusiasm and exuberance to follow Jesus. In fact, most of us here who've been following Jesus any amount of time know that trouble does come. It doesn't take long, but as soon as you become a Christian or you choose to follow Jesus, before the trouble comes, before the persecution comes, before the season changes and what you thought was like really like amazing, suddenly becomes a bit hard. And the choices you have to make are tricky. And the conditions around you make following Jesus a little bit harder than you would anticipate. We need those roots to go down really deep to withstand the environmental changes around us, the cultural changes around us, the friendship changes around us, the relational changes around us, the work changes around us. That's something about Philip and Kate. Their roots go down really deep. I know them really well. And they are rooted deeply to Jesus. And many of you here, I can look around and I can see you. I know your roots go down deep. How have they gone deep? How have they gone deep? Mainly, it's the secret work that these guys have done with Jesus. Loving Jesus. It's about this book. Reading this book. Getting it in you. It's about the secret life of prayer. Making time for loving Jesus. Keeping your heart soft. That's what makes your roots go down deep. If you don't do those things, your roots are shallow. I'm not saying that in a condemning, shaming way. I'm just saying it's just kind of how it is. So if you want to be fruitful, if you want to have a harvest in your life, if you want to kind of be here this time next year, push the roots down. Push the roots down. Thirdly, the other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. This refers to someone, Jesus says in verse 22, to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. So interesting that Jesus uses those two things, thorns that grow up in us, in our lives, but what they end up doing is like spiking us, choking what God wants to do in our lives. And he emphasizes worry and wealth. I was thinking about this. Why worry and wealth? I'm no theologian. I like to think I'm a bit of a theologian, but I know I'm not an expert. My take on this is because that speaks to all of us. We all worry. Hands up if you've never worried. I thought so. We are all included in this. Jesus is saying, watch out, because the worry that we all do, because we're human, will choke out the kingdom in your life. It will choke it out sooner or later. And wealth, the desire to have more than you have. It's not wrong to be wealthy, of course. It's not wrong to have money. It's not wrong to, you know, that. It's not. But a desire for more will have the effect of choking out what God wants to do in you, will choke out the kingdom. Francis Chan, the US pastor and author, I read this years ago and it stuck with me, said, have you noticed that whenever you compare what you have with somebody else, you always compare up? You always think, oh, if I had that holiday like they had, I'd be feeling much better. If I had that car like they've got, I'd be much better. If I had that income or that career or those opportunities or those choices or that relationship like they've got, I'd be so much better. We never compare kind of down or to the side. We never say, actually, I've got so much more than that person. I've got my car. I've got a car. They haven't got a car. I live in a house with a roof over my head. Lots of people don't. I was able to have a holiday. Some people have never had a holiday. Some people have never left this city. But we always compare up. If you notice that, beware, because that chokes out the kingdom of God. How do we deal with worry? We bring it to the Lord in prayer. That's what Jesus taught us to do. When you feel yourself worrying, puncture it by turning it into a prayer and also by telling somebody else about it, getting some prayer, communion in a minute. Also, it festers and grows and it becomes a thorn and it will wrap itself around you. And then it becomes massive fear, massive anxiety. You feel paralyzed. You can't do anything. Don't let it choke you. And wealth, give away stuff. Give away your money. You know, I'm being flippant, but you know what I mean? Ask the Lord how you don't get sucked into having this thorny thing wrapped around you to limit what the kingdom of God wants to do in your life and grow. Lastly, still some other fell on good soil where it produced a crop. Jesus says, this is about somebody who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what is sown. Look at that. That is a crop, isn't it? That's a crop and a half. I want to produce a crop. Like Kate said, I want lots of potatoes coming out of my bin. at my life. I want to be someone that produces lots of potatoes, figuratively speaking. I want God to produce a crop in my life, and I'm sure you do too. That's what we're here for. To be fruitful, to be people that reap a harvest for the kingdom of God, so that when the seeds are sown in our lives, they go down deep, they get rooted, they just have a life of their own, where as we abide in Jesus, Jesus produces in us what we cannot do ourselves. It's not about squeezing and trying harder and being better and feeling shame and feeling down on ourselves. It's about, Jesus, produce in me what you want. May my life be so open to your, the work of your spirit and to your word that I'm more like you every day. I've got to finish because we want to celebrate communion. Two things to end on. Jesus gives this warning in the middle about seeing but not seeing, hearing but not hearing. Let's not be people who hear but don't hear. See but don't see. What's the condition of your life like this morning? If your life was soil, if it was a field, what would it be like? The kingdom of God wants to get rooted in us, individually, as a community, and as a church. I felt particularly two things to just say before I hand over to Hayes is the roots, the bitter roots of unforgiveness and bitterness, where you've been hurt, where you've been misunderstood, where something has happened, somebody has said something, and it's just like a little bit of seed has got in. That is one of those thorns that can grow up in us. And unforgiveness, two thorny barbs that can grow up in us and will limit the kingdom of God in our lives. This morning before I came to church, I knelt down, as I often do, by my bed to pray for you lot and to pray for the message. And I, all week, I've been thinking about something. I thought, oh, I need to confess that to God. And I thought, oh, I need to do this now. Before I preach to you, I need to get rid of a bitter root. And so I just confessed it to God and said, I'm sorry. I need to not hold that against that person. Take it out, God. Forgive me. Cleanse me from my sin. Put your Holy Spirit in me. I bless them. That is weeding out a bitter root. It's very simple. As we go to communion now, it's an opportunity as we remember who Jesus is to allow the sacrifice and the death on the cross to soften our hearts, to tend and turn over the soil of our lives, to confess our sin, to get some prayer if we need it, to take a step towards Jesus if we need that too. Lord, I pray for us that we would be men and women where the kingdom takes root in a deeper way this year than ever before. That we would see you come in power in our lives and through our lives and in this city like never before. Kingdom of Jesus, we welcome you in this place and in this city and in our lives. Amen.